Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. We'll start with the front page of the commercial news, and the first story today is titled, "She Didn't Deserve This. Family Remembers Danville Teen Killed in Weekend Shooting." And this story is by Amy Graham McCarty and Kayla White. Anaya J. Davis was kind, loving, and had a beautiful voice. She wouldn't hurt a soul, her mother said, which is why the Danville grad's death from a violent weekend shooting is all the more shocking. The youngest of four children, Anaya was different, Andrea King said of her daughter. She used to call herself a social butterfly. She made friends wherever we went, and everyone loved her, King said. She loved to dance and sing. Since she was a little girl, that was all she ever did. I honestly cannot believe this happened to her. Anaya was always upbeat, happy, and smiling, her mother said. If you wanted to cheer yourself up, Anaya was the one to go to, she said. For something like that, for something to happen to her, is just too much. Police responded to a call around 10 p.m. Saturday of shots fired at Winter Park. When officers arrived, they learned there were three different shooting victims. Anaya was transported to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. A second victim, who is a juvenile, was transported to an Urbana hospital and was listed in stable condition as of Monday afternoon. A third victim, also a juvenile, was transported to a Danville hospital by personal vehicle from the scene and eventually released. Officers found evidence of several shots having been fired from at least two different locations at the park, DPD Deputy Chief Josh Webb said. Saturday night was supposed to be a night of celebration, said Javian Smith, who organized the gathering. That day, we were all supposed to go to Garfield Park because it was so hot out. I didn't really want to do a big event, he added. With the scorching heat, the pool had reached capacity, so Smith found an alternative. I needed to figure out something for us to do, he said. We had already went to Carver Park, so I thought about Winter. He made a post on Facebook. Winter Park. Bring water guns, water balloons, ice cold water, smiley face emoji. We got kickball going, volleyball, and good vibes. Bring the good energy, heart emoji. Bring the babies so they can get wet. Smith estimates more than 300 people showed up at Winter Park that evening. We were going to play with water guns and have a fun time, he said. It was just to meet up at Winter Park and just celebrate. Everyone was enjoying themselves, talking to each other, no arguments, no nothing. It was a celebration, until shots rang out. Erin Philpott was at the park having a good time when she heard the first gunshots. We were just playing. Everyone was having fun and enjoying themselves, she said. When we heard the first shots, everyone thought it was fireworks. But then we heard the second shot, and everyone scattered. Philpott said there was chaos at the park as people tried to flee to safety. Everyone was trying to get out, and they were still shooting, and there were people just running around, she said. People were dropping to the ground. It was scary. It was a lot. As Philpott made her way to safety, the police were arriving at the park. It was just police and fire, no ambulance, she said. I was just scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. She said she believes it was a gang rivalry that sparked the shooting. There was one gang in particular that had lost a member because of another gang shooting, and I guess they'd been going back and forth, she said. One of the gangs was already there at Winter Park, and the other gang wasn't supposed to come, but they were there at the same time. They were there for a couple hours, and I think they were just waiting until it got dark to start shooting. Still, she says there was no tension at the gathering. Everyone was having fun. Everyone was just chilling, she said. The shots were so unexpected. What happened Saturday continues to play like a movie through her mind. When the first few shots were fired, my friends dropped, and only one made it to the car and couldn't find the other one, she said. As we were driving to leave where the bathroom shed was, there was a car and a group of people standing over someone laying on the ground. I looked away. I didn't want to see it. Soon she received a call that her cousin was being taken to the hospital. I didn't know she was at the park, Philpott said. I thought she fell and slipped on water from the water guns and balloons. It wasn't long before she learned her cousin, Anaya, had been shot. We went to the hospital, and then my uncle came running out yelling, "They killed my baby," she said. Marzell Earl, Anaya's boyfriend of more than a year, was also there that night. I was standing right next to her, and then we heard gunshots. I started running, but she called my name, so I ran back, even though they was still firing, Earl said. Anaya's loss is especially tragic because of her age, Earl said. She had only just started her life. She just finished school and started her job at Sonic. She hasn't even gotten her first check, Earl said. Earl said Anaya had attended Ball State University, but was forced to drop out due to how expensive the school was. Anaya was the kindest person on this planet, who would make friends with anyone, Earl said. I love that girl so much. Philpott said her cousin was a sweet, sweet soul. She was very nice. She spoke to people out of kindness, and she walked with her head high and chest up, she said. She had a beautiful singing voice. She loved to sing. Anaya was a member of the Danville High School's show choir for many years. It was her love of music that inspired her to study to be a musical therapist, her mother said. Her plan was to go to Juilliard, but it changed because she realized show choir wasn't the same at college, Davis said. She wanted to become a therapist to help kids get through a lot of things. Jeffrey Thomas, director of show choirs at DHS, said Anaya was an outstanding member of DHS, a multitude of activities, and her community. She was the student president of the show choirs and led her team in a nearly undefeated season her senior year, he said. She loved to perform and was also a proud pompette and soloist in musicals. Of course, Anaya was a hard worker, dedicated, but more importantly, she was fun. She was one of those people who kept everyone around her more positive. She was the leader we all deserve. Someone who doesn't see fault, but opportunity for growth. She was always helping those around her be the best versions of themselves. Anaya was a true Danville success story. It is devastating that it was cut short. She is dearly missed by her teachers, friends, and loved ones, he added. Smith is devastated about Saturday's shooting and the loss of Anaya's life, as well as the injuries to other juveniles. I don't know what transpired for that to happen. There were babies around. There were kids, he said. Keep your problems to yourself. There is a time and place for everything. I am just trying to do something good for us and this community, he added. Everybody's been losing too many people. This is just tragic. We got to do better as a whole. Chris Hightower agrees. We as adults need to do even more to show how to put together a get-together to make it a safer environment, said Hightower, who, along with Smith, organized this year's Juneteenth celebration that attracted more than 800 people. When you get a bunch of teenagers and 20-somethings together, you create an environment that can lead to something like Saturday's shooting, he added. If someone had reached out, I would have told them, if you want to do something, do it this way, so that tragedy doesn't happen. Hightower said he would encourage large groups that wish to organize to reach out to the police department to let them know there was going to be a gathering at a park. He also suggested groups take time to plan and not gather in large groups spontaneously. Take your time when you are doing something, he said. If you don't, you put yourself in a situation where you don't have the proper measures taken. Anaya was also Hightower's cousin, and she will be missed, he said. Danville is a very tight-knit community. This is an absolute tragedy, and I just hope whoever knows something will come forward and say something, he said. The family deserves to get some level of justice. This is an innocent soul gone way too soon. Justice will have to wait, as Webb says his department has no suspects in the case. If anyone has any information, we need them to come forward, he said. We need to put an end to this gun violence and what is going on. We want people to be able to gather and have parties, but at the same time they need to be aware of their surroundings and what is going on. Webb said area parks are to be closed at 9 p.m. to help control violence and promote safety. We can't guarantee safety at the parks at night because it is dark out there, he said. We need those involved in these parties to gather safely and do it responsibly. Anyone with information about this incident is asked to contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250. Vermilion County Crime Stoppers can also be contacted online at vccrimestoppers.org or by using the mobile app P3 Tips or call anonymously at 217-446-TIPS. Any tip leading to an arrest is eligible for up to $1,000 reward through Vermilion County Crime Stoppers. Anaya had a big heart, and it is so sad to lose that, Davis said of her daughter. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Anaya didn't deserve this. She didn't deserve this. Next, from the front page, we have a staff report titled, We're All Queens. Friday night, 9 women took to the stage at the historic Fisher Theater to tell their stories of triumph, hardship, resilience, heartbreak, love, and joy. Linda Darby, the MC for the event, spoke about her experience as the CEO of Sunset Funeral Homes and what she has learned from helping families through death and grieving. Carla Boyd spoke about her complicated but deep connection to the man who raised her, as well as the shocking revelation that he wasn't her biological father, and the bonus family she is grateful to have found. Brittany Morris Randall spoke about the way she has worked through her worries and heartbreaks, joys, and accomplishments by physically rocking as well as the scientific benefits discovered and the gratitude she feels for the prayers her granny prayed for her. Carissa Watson spoke about the experience of losing her mother to cancer at an early age and the impact that loss has had on who she is as a person, as well as how she parents her own daughters now. Liz Hasty gave the crowd a double treat. First, she shared about how she lives her life authentically and the way she has suffered for it, and how her love of singing and dancing, regardless of who may be watching, has been such a joy for her. Then she showed off her skills by lip-syncing to Michael Bolton's hit song, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You?, complete with a wig and Bolton t-shirt. After the intermission, Staff Sergeant Diamond Moss spoke about her experience serving in the U.S. Army for the last 12 years including the special award she received for her skills and service in Afghanistan. She also spoke about how proud she is of pushing through on behalf of her son, who will also have a free ride to college. Julie Beto spoke about her relationship with her estranged father growing up after her parents' divorce, and how his absence and workaholism led to a deep rift between them. She also spoke about their brief connection before his death and her commitment to ensuring her daughter breaks the cycle by advocating for time with her own father. Kayla Rises spoke about her long journey to finding true love and the ways being loved is teaching her how to love herself better. She also spoke about how self-love and self-trust is insurance against destruction, regardless of the outcome of relationship. Patty Myers, last to speak, shared her story of participating in the 1996 Georgetown Fair Queen pageant, despite her lack of experience or interest, and about winning a special award, all in honor of her mother, Catherine Kentner, the winner of the 1971 pageant. At the end of her story, Myers reminded the audience that all women are queens, as Morris Randall placed a tiara atop her head. After her fellow cast members donned their own tiaras, Darby honored Myers with a sash that read, "Miss She Said." To learn more or to purchase tickets for the See She Said Project's teen show, That's What Teens Say, which is coming to the Fisher later this year, check out shesaidproject.com. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for this Tuesday. And the first today is for Brenda K. Crawford. Brenda K. Crawford, 73, passed away June 12, 2025, at IU Health Simon Cancer Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. A celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. on July 12th at Windfall United Methodist Church at 201 South Independence Street. Leora Ann Hutchison. Leora Ann Hutchison, 89, of Westfield, Indiana, formerly of Covington, Indiana, and Danville, Illinois, passed away at 5:24 p.m. on Sunday, June 22nd, at Copper Trace Family First Senior Living. A visitation for Leora Hutchison will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time on Thursday, June 26th, 2025, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. A service to celebrate her life will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, June 27th, also at Sunset in Danville. Pastor Tracy Thomas will officiate. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorials in her name may be made to the Second Church of Christ at 3350 East Voorhees Street, Danville, Illinois, 61834. Shirley Cochran. Shirley A. Trunka Cochran, 79, of Danville, Illinois, was called home by God to join her heavenly family on June 17, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. As per Shirley's request, she will be buried in her hometown of Baltimore, Maryland. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, is assisting the family with arrangements. John Bray. John Roscoe Bray, 70, died at 5:15 p.m. Saturday, June 21st, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hubston. Charles K. Cornell. Charles Kenneth Chuck Cornell, 91, died at 3:33 p.m. Saturday, June 21st, at home. Funeral services for the Army veteran will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hubston. The Reverend Frank Lacey will officiate, and burial will be in Rossville Cemetery in Rossville. There will be a visitation from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Christopher B. Dilworth. Christopher B. Dilworth, 59, of Danville, died Thursday, June 19, 2025, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Evergreen Cremation Services, 314 Tiffany Court in Champaign. Jeffrey Gailey. Jeffrey Gailey, 65, of Danville, died at 5:25 a.m. Friday, June 20th, in Danville. No services will be held. Rutvet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Sean Leak. Sean Leak, 46, of Danville, died at 2:08 a.m. Friday, June 13th, 2025, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Visitation will begin at 10 a.m. Wednesday at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Evangelist Ashley Leak Thomas will officiate, and burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Leak and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Howard Summers. Howard Summers, 71, of Danville, died at 9:17 a.m. Friday, June 20th, 2025, at Accolade Healthcare of Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leak & Sons Funeral Home in Danville. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn back to the commercial news front page for a story by Kayla White titled, "That Darn Humidity, Staying Safe in a Midwest Heat Wave." Every winter, Midwesterners step outside and say, "It wouldn't be so cold without that darn wind." And every summer, they blame the humidity for the suffocating heat. And they're right, according to meteorologist Mike Albano. Vermilion County and much of East Central Illinois is under a heat advisory until Thursday at 7 p.m., according to the National Weather Service. The city of Danville closed City Hall at 10:30 a.m. Friday due to a failing HVAC system, causing the temperature in the building to reach dangerous levels, according to Heather Runyon, executive assistant to Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. "A heat advisory means you might melt if you stay out in the sun long enough," Albano joked. "But heat illnesses like heat stroke and heat exhaustion," Albano said, "are no laughing matter. Heat-related illness is the number one killer here in the States, and I don't think people realize or respect the heat," Albano said. "It really doesn't take a long time outdoors in the direct heat, with the temperature and the humidity at the levels that they are, for folks to get sick. So we very much worry about heat-related illness, heat stroke especially. The heat index, or how hot it feels outside, is impacted by several factors, including the actual temperature of the atmosphere in a specific area, as well as wind and humidity. With temps expected to hover around the low 90s in coming days, the heat index may climb to 105 degrees. Humidity is, plainly put, the amount of water vapor in the air, Albano said. When there is more humidity in the air, it makes the air denser and harder to breathe. When we get temperatures in the 90s and we start to get the humidity that kind of creeps up with it this time of year, especially with the soy and the corn and other different sources that pump water vapor into the air, the humidity is an added weight into the air that we have to feel, Albano said. Denser, more humid air means those dealing with asthma or COPD may have an even harder time than the average person. The high water content of the air means there's less oxygen in the air, which is why it can feel so hard to take a breath. It just makes you exert a lot more of your energy when it's this hot and humid, Albano said. There are two key types of heat illnesses: heat exhaustion and heat stroke. According to the Mayo Clinic, the symptoms of heat exhaustion are cool, moist skin with goosebumps when in the heat, heavy sweating, feeling faint or dizzy, fatigue, a weak, rapid pulse, low blood pressure when standing up, muscle cramps, nausea, headache. If you feel any of these symptoms coming on, stop all activity and rest. Move to a cooler place and drink cool water or an electrolyte drink to hydrate yourself. The very young and very old are more at risk for heat exhaustion, as well as those who are obese. Those taking certain drugs should also exercise more caution, including drugs like those used to treat high blood pressure and heart problems, beta blockers and diuretics, reduce allergy symptoms, antihistamines, antidepressants, calming drugs, or drugs for reducing psychiatric symptoms such as delusions. Heat stroke is a more serious condition that develops when heat exhaustion goes ignored. It is a life-threatening condition that happens when your core body temperature reaches 104 degrees or higher. If left untreated, it can lead to permanent damage of your brain and other vital organs that can result in death. The Mayo Clinic and the American Red Cross recommend the following precautions to prevent heat illnesses: wear loose-fitting, lightweight clothing, protect against sunburn, stay hydrated, never leave anyone in a parked car, take a rest day from exercise, stay cool and spend time in air-conditioned places, and stay connected by checking on others and asking for help if you need it. Make sure pets have access to fresh water and shade. And finally today, turning to the community briefs section of the commercial news, we have the following items: Make a Mess at Crossroads. Crossroads Christian Church at 3613 North Vermilion Street will be hosting its annual one-day vacation Bible school on Saturday, July 26th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the church. Kids need to come dressed for messy activities and to get wet. This year's theme is What a Mess. There will be a family event following VBS from 3 to 5 p.m. This event is for children aged 5 through incoming 6th graders. Visit crossroadsofdanville.com to register, and the registration closes on July 10th. Fun concerts, Bible stories, cool craft, lunch, snack, crazy messy object lessons, and an outdoor party with a slip and slide and Kona ice truck are highlights of the program. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you. I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.